And we had such a fantastic weekend. For those of you who weren't able to be here, man, we just had a great party just to celebrate God's story and the good things that he has done over these last 50 years. We had a social time on Saturday afternoon for some who came and just enjoyed some refreshments together. We had a great banquet on Saturday night where we had a speaker, one of the kids who was raised in Lakewood and is now pastoring down the street, actually, came and spoke to us. We had a former pastor bring a great blessing for us. Wonderful food. We finished with fireworks out in the parking lot, which were spectacular. The weather actually, which had been raining most of the day, cleared up for our fireworks. And so we were able to go out and actually enjoy that without getting soaked, which was fantastic. Sunday morning, we had the president of the Alliance, David Hearn, here, who just gave us a great fire-filled, nitro-filled message, which really pointed us towards the next 50 years and orienting our gaze forward for what God's going to do in the next 50 years. But one of the fun events, we also finished with lunch afterwards. We had tons of people downstairs. It was great. But we had so much fun. On Saturday afternoon, a bunch of us went and did an amazing race here at the church. We started from the church, and we raced all over town to a bunch of different places that kind of have significance to Lakewood from Lakewood years past. And so, I mean, you know, if you've ever been in a race or a car rally, you know that feeling of adrenaline that you get when someone says, go, and like it's just this wah. You know, the foot feels a little heavier on the gas pedal, and you're just, you know, trying to go really fast without speeding, which is quite a balance to strike. And watching other people, you know, church members who you've known for a long time go flying past you. I won't mention any names, Daryl. Okay, we won't go there. But we had a great time on the race. There were so many fun things we did. We were out at Cottonwood Island Park looking for little carvings on the trees. Did you guys even know those were there? When you walk through the pass of Cottonwood Island, there's a little carving. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Through the course of the race, there's so many things you experience that are so much fun. And part of it's the adrenaline. Part of it's the challenge and the competition. Part of it's just seeing, I got to race with all my three boys, and to see them each have a different kind of event that each of them did during the race that they totally excelled at, that was so much fun. Then you hit the frustration points. When you're looking for something and you can't find it and you can't figure it out, you can't solve whatever it is you're trying to get. Like when we were at NR Motors and we had to figure out the price of a gallon of gas in 1965, the annual household income of someone in 1965, and the cost of a new car in 1965. I don't know if anyone would know all those answers, but we had to sort them out from just numbers, random numbers. We had to kind of piece together and figure out what all these things were. And I went back and forth between where we were figuring out and Greg Nichols' office, who was checking our answers like so many times, it was driving me nuts. So you hit those points, right? When you're in a race of total, you know, a high of the fun of actually feeling like you're doing well and the total lows of the frustrations when you get caught. We actually ended up finishing the race first, but because we had a penalty, we ended up in second, which, you know, it's all good. We had a lot of fun. But it was truly, and I'm not bitter. I say that with no, seriously. Anyways, you guys are going to think I'm bitter about that, but I'm totally not. It's all good. Actually, it worked out for the best because first place prize had some other gift cards too, but it also had gift cards to Boston Pizza. Second place had gift cards to Menchie's. And for me and my boys, I think that's actually the better fit for us. So we're heading to Menchie's for a date one of these days. But you know, oftentimes I think life is a bit like a race. It may not be exactly like the amazing race that we experienced, but it certainly feels at times like you're running in a race. And sometimes it feels like it's a race that you just don't ever see the end of. There's these moments of incredible excitement and fun. Those marker moments along the way where you celebrate and things are great and you're loving life and there's so many good things going on. And then there's also those times in life where we get tired and we start to feel all the aches and pains. And if you've ever done any amount of running, you know how much of running is mental, right? Because at some point your body is going to feel pain. You're going to feel it in your legs, in your ankles, in your feet, in your lungs, as you're just, right? As you're gasping for air, if you've ever been there. And sometimes in life, we just get tired. And we start to feel the pain, and it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of excitement and joy going on. And sometimes in the race of life, we see those around us who really don't finish it well. And maybe you can think of some people you know who haven't finished well for whatever reason. Whether someone who got kind of bitter as they grew older, just kind of angry about life, about everything going on. Maybe someone who didn't finish well because, you know, they were tracking along really well and all of a sudden had a huge failure of some kind in their life, like a moral failure. Ended up, you know, running away with someone else. Life is a lot like a race. And it can be hard and it can be exciting and it can be good. And we really do want to be able to finish well. And our life with Jesus is no different than that, in that it is a race that has challenges. It has moments of incredible joy and fulfillment. But we want to be able to see each other finish well. And that's why these talks we've been doing about community are so important. And the topic that we're going to talk about today is so important. Because life, and even life with Jesus, is not an easy race. It's not a race where we necessarily just have an easy sense of this is going to be the outcome. This is how it's going to go. It'll all be level ground. It doesn't work that way. In fact, just a little side note, when we were in New York City this summer, you guys ever look at a map of Manhattan? You ever see a map of Manhattan? In the middle of Manhattan, you see that like, there's all these streets and craziness, and in the middle, there's this big green rectangle, which is Central Park, right? Now, when you look at it on a map, I don't know if you've ever thought this, but my impression was Central Park is flat. It is totally not flat. When you get there, it's almost like a bit of the Canadian Shield there, because it's got these huge rocks and mounds all the way through this park. And there's one part where they have a little castle where the weather station's on top, way above the lower parts of the valleys right next to it. It's this huge hilly thing. And in a lot of ways, sometimes I think we have an expectation coming into life with Jesus that everything's going to be this flat, easy way. And it's not. There are a lot more hills and valleys and pitfalls and stuff we got to climb than we maybe expect. And so we want to be able to encourage one another along the way. And that's what we're talking about today. So if you have your Bibles here, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be starting in verse 19 and following through to verse 25. And so if you'd like to open up there or flip to it on your phone or your iPad or whatever you got with you, we'll also have it on the screen here to read together in just a moment. But let's just start with a word of prayer and ask God to speak to us through his word today. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, recognize, Lord, that we come from all sorts of different places when we get here this morning. Some of us are feeling the joy and excitement of the race that we're in with you right now. And just, there's cool things going on, and we're just pumped to even be here. Others of us, Lord, are just in that place of feeling fatigued. And we've been running for a long time, and it's hard. Some of us are just feeling pain right now and can't even see much beyond the pain. So, Lord, however we're coming in here today, I just pray that we would hear from your word and be encouraged. Encouraged to keep running this race with you. So Lord, just open up our eyes to see the things in the text that we need to see, but also to see the things in our lives that we need to see. Give us ears to hear your voice as you speak to us through your word today, Lord, that it would be your words we hear over mine. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All right. Today we're talking about spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. And I just want to take a moment to unpack a little bit of some of the words here, just talk a little bit about this. As you think about our life being a race, as you think about this image of our life being a race, and we're going to be coming back to that in a little bit, but holding unswervingly, don't go to the left and to the right. Stay steady on this path, right? There's so much imagery in Hebrews. I love it. Spurring one another on in those moments when, you know, you're running along and you're tired and you're just feeling fatigued, to just have someone come alongside, link arms with you and say, let's just keep going. We got this. We got this. We can make it another mile. We can make it to the next telephone pole. We can make it the next 10 yards. We can do this. We can do this together. Spur each other on toward love and good deeds, encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. There is a day coming when Jesus is going to return. And he's going to make all things right on earth. And he's going to take all the evil and the brokenness away and make all things new. That day is coming. But until it comes, we need to encourage each other to keep on this path. Now, during the Amazing Race, one of the tasks we had to do, it was getting a little ways on in the race, we're getting closer to the end, and the clue said to go to the north side of the Cameron Street Bridge, to this little park there, and then there was a task to either go fast or easy. Easy was to take the switchbacks up the cut bank. Fast was to go directly straight up the cut bank. Okay. Now, I don't know how many of you guys have run the cut banks before, but it is not easy, as some people would tell you, right on? Some people would tell you, the sand shifts a lot under your feet. Isn't that right, Jed? That was a reality, right? So, anyways, me being, you know, me, I asked my boys, who wants to run the cut banks? Because it's not going to be me. And Noah said, I want to do it. Right? Noah's our oldest one. He's 14. And Noah is an avid soccer player, so he plays soccer a fair bit, and he's in a lot better shape than I am. And so Noah, we kind of jog out to where we had to be to go straight up the cut bank, and he just tears up the cut bank. He's just running, like just giving her all the way up there. And the other boys and I were down at the bottom like, yeah! Right? Like, go, Noah, yelling as loud as we can because he's out there. We don't know if he can hear us. But we're just cheering for him because we want him to go. And there's those moments when you can see he's getting a little tired, right? Because he's getting, you know, two-thirds, three-quarters up of the way to where Martin was at the top waiting to give him his next clue. And he's sucking wind a little bit by this point. So we're just cheering him on just to get that last little press. Go! Do it! You got this! Right? It was awesome. And to see him fly up there and then run back down, I mean, man, what an incredible moment. But having us to cheer him on. See, when you read this text about encouraging one another, spurring one another on, we got to get where this is in the context of what the writer of Hebrews was saying. Because right after this chapter, he gets into this whole section, which is a famous chapter. We usually call it the faith chapter. The Hall of Faith, because it talks about all these people from the Old Testament, from God's history, from years past, who all did amazing things, right? They were all faithful and stayed on course with God. They all did these amazing things, even though the author of Hebrews tells us they never saw the fulfillment of God's promise. They never got to see the coming of Jesus, and yet they all stayed faithful to do what God had asked them to do. He talks about Abraham being faithful, and even though, you know, he was really old and Sarah was really old, he believed God, and they still had a son through whom the promise would come. Noah, when he hears the voice of God saying, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And he says, right, what's an ark? You know, no. He builds an ark. And all through all these different people, it's just over and over and over, we have these repeated things of this person, God asked me to do this, they did it. They were faithful. This person, they did this faithfully. This person, they did this faithfully. Over and over and over. And then when we get to chapter 12, there's a sense of an incredible cheering crowd. And this image that we're in this race and we're being cheered on by this great cloud of witnesses is what it calls it. It's a great crowd of people who are there cheering us on in the race. All these who have gone before us are all standing watching us going, yeah, you got this. Come on, take another step. You can do it. Now, the great thing about this crowd, I want to distinguish this crowd because any of you guys like going to sporting events, like whether Cougars games, Minnesota Canucks games, BC Lions, whatever, okay, like three of you, okay, the rest of you just have to play along. If you've ever been to a sporting event, right, it's a lot of fun. There was years ago when the Cougars were in the playoffs. I remember they were playing Everett, and it was when the CN Center was totally, well, it was still the multiplex, I think, then. But it was rocking, right? And we were down right at the glass, and we were just banging on the glass. Yeah! Like cheering away crazy. And it was a pumped up crowd, right? Here's the difference between this crowd and the CN Center crowd. The CN Center crowd is filled with a whole bunch of people who have never played hockey in their life. They may have drank a lot of beer watching hockey, but they have actually maybe never actually picked up a hockey stick, strapped on skates, and skated out to play. A lot of times when we're in a crowd and there's those who are cheering us on, they have no idea what we're going through because they've never been there. This crowd is different. This is a crowd of people who have been there. They have heard the voice of God speaking, and they have followed faithfully in what he asked them to do. They get it. The people who have gone before us are people who are cheering us on now by the finish line, who have run the race already. Those are the people saying, "You got this." So when you're feeling the pain and you're stumbling and you don't know if you can go another 10 steps, they know you got this because they've done it. They've felt the pain. They've been in that circumstance. They have walked the road and they have made it to the end. And so another piece of this that comes up is that we stand and we run this race not just totally on our own, but we're kind of standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. When we were on holidays this summer, we ended up in Washington, D.C., which is a cool city to go to, by the way. But one of the little things that just happened to us along the way was we were walking down the street one day, and there was this huge crowd of people, bunch of fans again, all wearing Barcelona Football Club shirts, right? And there was a game between Barcelona FC and Chelsea. That's who it was. They were doing sort of a summer tour. Thanks, Zach. You're awesome. They're doing their summer tour through the U.S., and they were having this game later that day, and all these fans were crowding around because this was the hotel where Barcelona was staying. And, I mean, these guys, like, worldwide are way more famous than, you know, our NHL players. So there was this huge crowd gathered around, and they were just, like, crazy, like, all holding up their phones trying to get a view. And as we get there, you know, we have, like, just, I don't even know how many people it was in front of us, but there was a whole lot of people between us and where they were going to be coming out the door to, you know, get into their bus. There was not a hope that I'm not that tall, right? Earl, you might have had a shot at it, but holding up our phone, no way I'm going to see anything. So what we did was we decided to put Max up on my shoulders so that he could hold on to the iPod and see over the crowd to try and take a shot of the players coming out. Now, as it turned out, we didn't actually see any players. We saw the president of the Barcelona Football Club when he came out the side door, which was kind of cool. But Max was on my shoulders, and he was able to see far more than I was ever able to see. By standing on my shoulders, he could see beyond what I was ever able to see or comprehend on my own. And in the same way, we follow after a crowd of cheering witnesses who have been faithful to God throughout the ages, but they never saw the fulfillment of the promise. Now we stand on their shoulders and we can see far more than they were able to. So we have them cheering us on, and we're also able to stand on what they've done before, and to see further, to see clearer, so that we can run the race well. You know, as a church, as we think about our 50th anniversary, in a sense, we stand on the shoulders here also of those who have gone before in planting and growing and building this church. You know, over the last 6 years or so, we've been working on a renovation project with the church and residing and doing a bunch of different things, little add-ons here and there. And, you know, some of the challenges that come up is you know, anytime you do renovations, right? You throw your, if you've done renovations in your house, wow. You throw yourself into chaos for a while, right? But the reality is we have something to start with to continue to build onto. We get to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before and started something great here. To see the foundation of families and reaching out to kids and reaching out to our community and the heart for mission that exists in this place because of those who planted it and continued to grow it over the years and be faithful to the call of God. We don't start from scratch today. We get to come into this standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before who can still cheer us on. There's a great crowd of witnesses in this place spurring us on to run the race. And honestly, I think there's times in the race of life and faith that we need to know we're not alone. Because sometimes this race can feel pretty lonely. But we are not alone. We are being cheered on by a great crowd of witnesses. Another thing to pick up from this is that as we run this race and we have all these people cheering us on, one of the big things that the author wants us to make sure we get is that we're running this race not just on our own, but we're running it fully in our identity in Jesus Christ. You know, we read the text, which was a little, which probably felt a little weird when we started reading this morning from Hebrews 10, because it talked all about, you know, this new and living way that Jesus opened through his body and being washed with water and all that kind of stuff. And the author of Hebrews was trying to give us a picture of what Jesus did for us. See, what he did for us, he's given us a picture of what the temple used to look like. And the temple was a building that had the outer court, and then it had, you know, the holy place and the most holy place inside. And there were barriers between each level of the temple. Because at the very most holy place in the temple was the place that they believed God, or not where he believed, where he did come down and meet with them, where he met with the high priest, right in the most holy place. But there were barriers there. And only the high priest could go into that most holy place. And so there was these barriers between everyday people like us, Joe Israelite, and where God would be meeting with the high priest. And what Jesus did was, in a sense, he came in and he ripped apart the curtain that divided it. He made a new and living way through his body for us to come right into the presence of God, right into that most holy place. And so now we have access right to the Father, right to God, because of Jesus. So we need to remember who we are in Jesus as we run this race. We're not running this race on our own. We're not running it just to try and like please God somehow. We're running it because Jesus has made a way for us to run it. And along the way in Hebrews chapter 12, just after it says we have this great cloud of witnesses, he says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Because he too has already finished the race. It's like he's standing at the finish line going, come on, come on, you got this. I'm with you, you can make it. You've got this. So remember in this race that we're running, we have all these witnesses around us who are cheering us on, but we also have Jesus, who not only is standing at the finish line, but is right there in us to drive us forward to the finish line. We need to remember along this race that we belong to and are loved by Jesus, who made a way for us to be in the presence of God. One other image I want to share with you today about running this race that's important, and I need a volunteer actually for this. Someone preferably has a belt. Anyone want to come up here with me quick? We could be here for a while if I don't get a volunteer soon. I'm just saying. Stephen, thank you, buddy. You're awesome. All right. Come on up here, man. All right. Yeah, right up here is good. Turn around, face the audience. Okay. Sorry, I'm getting a little personal here, buddy. All right. Now, Stephen, what I want you to do is go back to your seat. A little harder? A little harder to move. Okay, come on back up here for a sec. One of the things the author of Hebrews says as he talks about getting into this race is he says, throw off every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and run for you the race set out before you, fixing your eyes on Jesus. One of the things we have to do as we get into this race is get rid of the bungee cords. Now, this was a literal bungee cord on your belt, which made it a little harder for you to walk and would have made it very hard for you to run, especially with me, you know, being who I am, holding on to the other end of it behind you. but once we take this off, head back to your seat. It's a little easier to make it. We need to release the bungee cords. Now, in each of our lives, there's different things that hold us back. There's all kinds of stuff that can get in the way. And so when he says, throw off every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles, yeah, there's sin stuff in our life. There's stuff from our past that we have in our life. There's stuff that we're doing now that's in our life that we need to confess, be forgiven for, and let it go and go the other way. Absolutely. And there's other stuff in our past that's holding us back. Maybe it's past hurts and stuff that people have done to you. Maybe it's stuff that you're still feeling the pain of from a relationship that fell apart and broke down. There's all kinds of things that hook onto our belt and pull us back when we're trying to run the race. Cares of life, just concerns, worries, things going on. Loved ones who are ill. I'm feeling that one a bit today. There's stuff that we all have that has the potential to hold us back unless we're willing to release that stuff so that we're able to run. Jesus told a story of a farmer who went out, and he had a bag of seed with him, and he just took handfuls of the seed and started to cast it out to sow the seed. And some of the seed, he says, fell on the rocky path. And that seed didn't really grow up at all. The crows just kind of came down, scooped it up, and took it away, and that was their food for the day. Some of the seed that the farmer had fell in soil that was pretty rocky, just little bits of soil with lots of rocks between. And even though the plant grew up pretty fast, it had no place to really put down its root, and so it died off quickly when the sun came out. Still other seed fell into thorny soil, where there's a bunch of other thorn plants growing up with the seed. And as the plant grew up, it was choked out by the thorns of life. The cares, the worries, the stresses. Will there be enough money this week? How am I going to get enough for next month? Am I going to be able to pass this course? How am I going to do this with all the stuff that's on my plate right now? How am I going to deal with this relationship that I'm really struggling in and I know really needs to end, but I really can't bring myself to have a hard conversation about it? All these cares and worries and things that we hold on to weigh us down to a point where we're not running. We're just trying to crawl down the track a little further if we can. Did you know that Jesus came to set you free? Did you know that he came to unhook the bungee cord from the back of your belt and throw it away so that it's no longer holding you back? Do you know that he came to bring you release from your sin? Freedom from the captivity of broken relationships and past hurts. Do you know that he came to set you free? See, you don't have to walk struggling forward with all this baggage that you don't know how you're going to carry. Jesus came to set you free. And as we think about spurring one another on, one of the things we need to know is that we can actually help each other in this. James, one of the authors of the New Testament, wrote about it. I don't have it up here. This was just my picture of the bungee thing. Anyone got that kind of baggage you're trying to pull with you? Did you know that we can help each other be released from this stuff? James said, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Sometimes we need to actually be in community, be open with one another, to be able to say, this is what's going on. This is the hurt I'm carrying. This is the sin that I'm in the midst of that I really just need to be set free from. To be able to confess it to each other and to be able to pray for each other so we can actually receive the healing that Jesus has for us, so he can set us free from whatever it is. Because he wants us to be free, to be able to run that race with perseverance and joy, to make it to the end well. So let me ask you this. In the race of life today, in the stuff that you're facing as you're running that path, how are you struggling today? Feeling overwhelmed? Like it's just too much right now? Are you feeling like you're caught in a repetitive sin that you know is wrong? And for some reason, you just keep going back there again. You feel the shame of it, and you go back there again. And then you confess it, you feel shame of it, and you go back there. Like, are you caught? Are you feeling the pain of life? Just getting tired? What I really want to do today is encourage you. Encourage you in the space you're in today. Thanksgiving Monday, we were having people over for dinner that night. And so we were doing a bunch of house cleaning and kind of getting stuff ready, got the turkey in the oven, all that kind of stuff. And about the middle of the day, there was a bit of a break time, and I decided to go for a walk. And I just went out for a walk, ended up walking up University Hill. And this was the picture I took at the top of University Hill that day. You know when you go up, and on the left side, there's those benches right up where a little green space, you kind of overlook the city? That's where I went and hung out up there. And I thought it was amazing. I just took a moment, because I was sitting on the bench anyways. I read the little plaque that was on the first bench that's up there. You know what it says? It's in loving memory of someone. That's great. But there's a little quote, two words underneath. It said this, "Press on." What an awesome space to put that, because you watch all the people who walk and run and cycle that hill, and by the time you get to that point, most of them are sucking wind pretty good, especially if they're going actively up the hill. Press on. In the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the hardship, press on, not by yourself. This isn't a just do more, do better kind of thing. No. Press on knowing Jesus is with you to free you up from all the stuff that's holding you back. Press on knowing that there's this incredible group of spectators who have been there, run the race, they have finished the race, who are cheering you on. Yeah! Press on knowing that we are here with one another to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to say, you know what, if you're in this place of struggle right now, let me come alongside you, pray for you, lift you up in this space. We're here to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to be able to run this race well. So be encouraged. You're not running this by yourself. He got the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who created you, the one who created the universe, who's living inside of you, who's ready just to say, let's just go. We got this. You got us with you too. Last weekend, Dave gave a great word to spur us on into these next 50 years and to think about all that God has for our community, for us as a church, to spur us into a future that really is led by and empowered by the Holy Spirit to see this community changed by Jesus Christ. We have an incredible opportunity as we go into these next 50 years, as we just kind of continue on in this race of life. And there is so much that we could experience in this incredible run that we're doing. But we don't want to run this alone. We want to run this in the power, in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, filling each one of us, filling us collectively, and to run this together. To run this together, spurring one another on all the way, cheering each other on. So for you, how can we cheer you on today? How can you cheer on someone else? As you look around this place, who do you see that's just starting to... who you could come alongside to help pick up today and encourage them? As we run this race, may we finish well, filled, empowered by Jesus, and encouraging one another every step of the way. Let's pray, and then we'll take some time to respond in worship. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that when you call us to yourself, you don't call us to come and be alone. You call us to come and be filled with your Holy Spirit, to be identified with Jesus Christ, and to be welcomed into this incredible family so that we can cheer each other on in the race of life. So, Father, as we follow you, may we feel the encouragement that comes from you and from one another. And may we, in turn, encourage one another. And all the more as we get closer to the day when Jesus returns, may we just continue to grow in that love and encouragement and strengthening of one another, that this city will truly be changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, in the place that we're struggling today, we just pray that you would meet us. Free us up from the stuff that's holding us back and allow us to run freely this race that's before us, feeling encouraged by those around us. God, we just thank you so much that you love us enough to do this for us. In Jesus' name, amen.